rate regulation, we had an extensive educational session. I think we can come to a conclusion quickly.
Good morning, everybody. As Han said, just a brief discussion on rate regulation, which is agenda papers 9, 9A and 9B. We had a discussion about them a couple of days ago in an education session, so I'd just like to spend a couple of minutes clarifying some of the points that were raised in that session before inviting you to make any additional comments or questions, and then ask if you agree with the staff recommendations, which are laid out in the cover note of agenda paper 9, which is to retain the rate regulation project within the research programme and move to a second discussion paper instead of an exposure draft. And also, in developing a model to put into that second discussion paper, that we look at developing a model as a separate standard rather than looking to amend or create an interpretation of existing standards. We outlined in the earlier session our reasons for these recommendations, which include both project management concerns as well as technical concerns. In particular, we highlighted the conceptual framework interaction, and that's part of our critical path on this project, so we don't want to get ahead of that, but we don't want to issue an exposure draft before finalisation of that project. But in the meantime, we'd like an opportunity to do more focused targeted consultation, field testing in the development of the model. On the technical side, as well as the necessary interaction with the conceptual framework, we've been responding to the feedback from the first discussion paper by looking at whether we could build a model using IFRS 15, revenue from contracts with customers, which was a strong message in the feedback from that discussion paper. But as highlighted in Agenda Paper 9, some of the definitions in IFRS 15, particularly those of the customer and also performance obligations, don't lend themselves to be applied to the rights and obligations created by the regulatory agreement. Consequently, our preliminary findings suggest it's preferable to follow an approach that's consistent with the existing approach in IFRS 14, regulatory deferral accounts. That standard basically requires entities to apply existing standards in the same way as an unregulated company and then reflect the overlay of the regulatory agreement on separate line items. That approach also has the added advantage that it's consistent with the approach of US GAAP. The US standard Topic 980, Regulated Operations, also requires that entities with activities within its scope first apply the requirements of US GAAP that apply to unregulated entities, and then Topic 980 specifies when and how its requirements would then override the requirements of the general GAAP. However, I want to be clear, and a point was raised on Monday, that we're not looking to replicate Topic 980. We had a strong message from our stakeholders that we should focus any model that we develop around the rights and obligations created by the regulatory agreement. And in addition, we should look to concentrate on more faithfully representing the effects of that agreement on the consideration that the entity is entitled to receive in exchange for satisfying the obligations under that regulatory agreement. And therefore, this means that we're looking to focus more on income recognition. Whether we call that income revenue or something else, we'll develop as we're going through the model. In the previous session, we also discussed this tripartite agreement between the entity and its customers, the entity and the rate regulator, and the rate regulator with the entity's customers. Our preliminary analysis suggests that the first relationship, that between the entity and its customers, is already dealt with through existing revenue standards. So although the regulatory agreement strongly influences this relationship, It doesn't, in my view, override the terms and conditions of the contracts between the entity and its customers. Consequently, entities applying the existing predominant practice in IFRS, which is to recognise and measure revenue based on the terms and conditions in the contract, the goods and services delivered using the regulated rate, should still continue under IFRS 15 in the same way as IAS 18 and 11 have been applied under existing IFRS. This then leaves us with the other two arms of the tripartite relationship, the relationship between the regulator and the entity's customers, and the regulator and the entity itself. And it's the combination of these two relationships that's reflected within the regulatory agreement, that is, what activities the entity is obliged to perform in accordance with that agreement, and the amount of consideration that the entity is entitled to receive in exchange for carrying out those activities. In my view, the regulated rate is the tool that the regulator uses to ensure that the entity ultimately receives the consideration that it's entitled to in exchange for carrying out those activities. So that's one of the reasons why we're recommending having a separate model that we think would more clearly explain this relationship and the overlay of the regulatory agreement separately from the revenue from contracts with customers under IFRS 15 and other activities under existing standards. So with that, that's just clarifying some of the issues that came out on Monday. I'll open for any questions or comments people have.
Ian?
Unfortunately, I wasn't here on Monday, so I missed that discussion. However, I am a bit concerned about some of the proposals. When we introduced IFRS 14, I have a clear recollection of a vigorous discussion with the Due Process Oversight Committee on how we should proceed. And they were going to put a stipulation upon us to proceed to another standard in a fixed period of time. We managed to dissuade them of that suggestion. However, they were strongly of the view that IFRS 14 was temporary and that we should have it replaced one way or another as quickly as possible. And that was a pretty clear guidance from the Due Process Oversight Committee. So in relation to the first question, that we leave this on the research agenda, I can understand the reasoning, I think, but I'm worried about the messaging. I'm worried about giving a message out that this, and you say in your memo it's not going to slow things down, I understand that. But we're leaving it on the research agenda. I'm not sure we can't do a discussion paper under a standard project. We've done them before. I don't think it has to be a research topic to do a discussion paper. And to me, the messaging would be much stronger if we moved to a standard. And remember also, we've got an agenda consultation coming up. I'd like to have this as a standards project before we do that consultation, quite frankly, because we've been given clear guidance on what we're to do anyway. So I don't know whether you think it's possible that we could move it to a standards level project and do a discussion paper, but if we could, I would be much happier with that outcome than just saying, oh, this remains a high priority research topic. And that's question one. And question two, which is, we look to develop an accounting model that's contained in a separate standard rather than looking. I just wonder if we aren't making decisions ahead of ourselves. We're going to have a discussion paper exploring this. Why are we being asked now to make a decision in that regard? I think it can just wait. I mean, you can develop the models you want as you go through the discussion paper, but I don't think this board... We're going to have a discussion paper, but we're being asked today to agree that we should develop an accounting model that's contained in a separate standard rather than changing other standards. Well, maybe that's the right answer eventually, but should we be making that decision now before we've gone through all the issues? So I'm afraid I've got problems with both the questions.
Okay. Michael, do you want to...
just on that second one,
We had concerns that we should not give any indication or make suggestions that we were going to start changing IFRS 15. We think it's important that IFRS 15 is there, it's clear, so that people, as they are addressing that, looking at that and how that applies for their first application, should be able to do so without thinking that we are going to be making additional amendments in respect of rate regulated entities. As Jane pointed out in the explanation there, we see IFRS 15 is applying quite clearly to the relationship between the entity, the rate regulated entity, and its customer, that part of the tripartite agreement. And therefore our focus for this project would be the additional legs of that agreement, i.e. between the rate regulated entity and the regulator, and between the regulator and the consumers of the goods and services. So that really was the message that we were wanting to convey with that aspect.
Which I agree with, and also if you want to make some speed, it's better to at least solve some problems already.
I wouldn't have anticipated that everybody thinks we're going to change IFRS 15 as a result of this. I mean, this is quite a separate topic, and your paper's reasonably clear, but
that's the only thing that's been asked to decide.
Well, I think we're chasing its shadows a bit in that regard.
Personally, I would agree with you, but I've heard people trying to apply IFRS 15 with the regulatory overlay at the same time. So we felt it was helpful to try and make that position a little bit clearer at this stage. And with regard to your first question, I'm looking down the table at Alan. In terms of terminology, I think our due process handbook does talk about the distinction between the research programme and the standards level programme. So I'm not sure we can strictly move from one to the other, but I think in terms of messaging, you're quite right. I mean, we already have this project flagged as a major project on our work plan on a separate page from the research programme. Within the research programme itself and the communications we've got around there, we are making it clear that we do expect this project to end up in standard setting activity. So I think it's a terminology issue rather than a messaging issue.
I share some sympathy for Ian's point on that. I think from the due process oversight committee, and when you actually develop IFRS 14, there was a clear commitment you're going to do some sort of standard setting. And the difference between the research program and standard setting is at the moment in the research program, you're not quite sure if you're going to need to do anything, but you are going to have to do something. You're either going to have to try and have a look at IFRS 14 and get rid of the grandfathering and make it more available, or change the disclosure, or change something. So I can understand the signalling, and because if you take a step back, you actually don't have a discussion paper to go to a standard. And similarly, I would argue you could add a discussion paper as a step within the standard setting process. If you thought that was the fastest way to get to a solution, you might have a sort of narrow scope discussion.
What is the gist of this?
So the gist of this is that you just have to make a clear commitment that you are doing a standard on this. I'm not sure if you have to do anything to move it to a standards program on the website, because that was a clear commitment you made when you developed IFRS 14. You're kind of there. Maybe it's just that we haven't positioned it well enough on our own website.
Yeah, but are you saying you cannot have a discussion paper in a standard?
No, I'm saying you could. Saying you don't have to have a discussion paper as part of research, and similarly you don't have to.
Yeah.
You could add a discussion paper as part of standard setting. If that could be the fastest way to get to a solution.
In that case, I mean, if you what you say is right, that we are already committed to some sort of standard setting, why don't we indeed move it to the standard setting agenda, but still make clear the first step is
discussion.
The next
paper.
Step is a discussion paper that might make the messaging a bit clearer. Amaru?
Thanks, Hans. I think the end of the discussion was well captured in my concern with timing. As you know, I personally was much more concerned with the message of the IFRS 14 itself than with the message of this project. But considering the need to somewhat replace IFRS 14 as quickly as possible, I think we should be very clear in the message that we are pursuing a project here, a specific standard. So I'm glad that this suggestion came about, and hopefully we all agree with that. We do have a strong feedback supporting a particular, a specific project. I do understand the need of a solution, but being involved with this project more closely, I've learned quite a lot. And because the discussion paper, the initial discussion paper, didn't have a clear accounting model, I think we do need a second one to really explore, because the risk of going to a exposure draft could be the same risk that we run in 2009 with a very limited understanding of this. So I do support the direction, and I think we should continue working hard to do this as quickly as possible.
We go.
One comment, one suggestion, one question. One comment is, you know, I want to repeat my strong comment when we developed 2009 EED. That is related to my background. I was educated in the late 1970s. During that time, we used Russian's or former Soviet Union style accounting system, which to a large extent, very similar to what we're talking about. That is, there is no clear principles, objectives. Everything depends on government approvals chewing up by the end of the year. I learned this, you know, and then China went through a reform process. We are closing to IFRS. I personally strong against this. And the people I met in China, they're all strong against. They said, we already changed. You want us to change back? The key is, you know, up to now, China may be still one of the most regulated country. In many industries, government still regulate this price, another. And then to some extent, the regulation and the regulatory decision will create right obligations. And the key question is, should we represent the impact of such regulation and decision? And I don't think we should do so. And when I comment on 2009 ED, I said, take US as an example. 50 states, every state have maybe 30 regulatory agencies, power, gas, sewages, pipelines, everything. So 50 plus 30, and maybe have county level regulatory bodies. And I'm not sure how many. And then to some extent, we don't have any accounting principles. Everything depends on someone's decision and someone's the willingness, because in many cases, regulatory decision related political pressures and others. And in China now, need a public hearing. Who knows whether the members of the panels will agree or not? And they, most of them don't have any accounting knowledge at all. So keeping this in mind, you know, this is why I'm strong against. And my second suggestion is,
if I can interrupt, there you go. It is kind of ironic that an economy like China's, which still has a little, I think, overall more regulation than that of the United States and Canada, doesn't want this, and that the supposedly free market or economies, the Americas, really want this.
Secondly, the suggestion is a link to my question to the original EDP. I said we are both weak on the scope and the methodology, and I think we have to do both. The reason why people support the suggestion from DP is the definition of regulations are so tight. I don't think it is operational. And convert into a technical term, I think the key question is, if we link scope and methodology together, forget definition and of element and others, I think the key question is, can we find a separately identifiable, measurable effect we can reflect? This is the most difficult part. You know, we use this term in the hedging standards. I think in this area to some extent the same. You know, it's not one by one. You know, when I discuss with Professor Wen's work in government regulatory bodies for a few years, he always disagreed with me. But I told Paul, I said, when you was young, there is one by one relationship. Now there's no one by one relationship. So my suggestion is, you think about this, whether we can find separately identifiable and measurable effect we can present in balance sheet and income statement. My final question relates to your comment, your last comment, that is, you know, US GAAP is an overlay type of standards. To some extent it's right, but to some extent it's wrong. It's because our standard, temporary standards, is overlay type, means you should recognize, present everything based on standards, and recognize another balance amount based on the overlay requirement. I'm not sure whether the US model is like this. By the final products means balance sheet income statement is mixed. Am I right?
The US model is a hybrid, so in some circumstances it specifies you need to highlight it separately. In other circumstances you can offset it within another line item. But that's something that we would need to discuss in developing our model as to how much separation we would be looking for.
Weigo, can I ask you, what is the main reason why Chinese constituents don't want this? Is that what you said, like they already adjusted their accounting and are happy with it? Or is it also that they believe it would not result in a faithful presentation of what they're actually doing?
Yeah, firstly, whether based on some kind of regulatory requirement or decision will come out faithful representation of balance sheet of financial position performance is questionable. You know, I was a chief accountant, Philippe, once, when we review the listing requirements prospectus by power stations and others, they quite often say that, no, we have the regulatory approval decision. It is very hard for the security regulator to agree with, because on the one hand, the decision may have impact, but on the other hand, as I said, each province have power authorities, electricity authorities, and we face so many. And as I said, the national level, state level, and county level. And how can we accept, you know, different decisions which may based on different principles, objectives, and political pressure?
Mm. So, and that's more an enforcement problem that you see there. The variety of methods in practice is so enormous that you foresee huge enforcement issues, right?
That's
what you just said, I think. That for a securities regulator, it was just about impossible to check the financial statements of these companies, because it was impossible for you to look at all the underlying regulation, which differs from province to province and between provinces.
Yeah, fundamentally, as we challenged in the same opinions with Steve, that objectives of financial reporting is different from regulatory, you know, requirement and decision. This is the key.
Okay. Mary.
I support the intent and messaging behind both of the staff recommendations. I think some of the discussion we've had has highlighted wording and expression questions about it. For me, at least, rather than the substance. I think one of the innovations, Jane, that you've had with this project from the beginning is let's consult publicly early and often, and check rather than waiting until we get to a very complete set of things where we kind of get entrenched and so the discussion gets more adversarial. And I think the idea of doing the next deliverable in the form of another discussion paper before the whole model is built out is, as you say, the fastest way to make progress, rather than a desire to stick at a preliminary stage. So, keeping with the theme of the morning, I think it's messaging about this is part of a desire to make change, make progress. And I think, Ian raised the point about do we have to consider this to therefore be still in the research phase, and it sounds like we don't. So, I think planning to go ahead with a further consultation before we come up with a single set of proposals is the right way forward in terms of do we commit at this stage to a separate standard, versus amendments to standards. Certainly my personal inclination based on the work we did for the DP and the feedback we've seen is that we, predicting the outcome, we will probably end up with a separate standard. But I think you've hit on a point that's quite important to raise, that it came out in our ed session that the route forward you see as a revenue-based approach and distinguishing between a desire to pursue a revenue-based approach, let's say in contrast with a cost capitalization, focus, is not the same as this is an interpretation of IFRS 15. And so a revenue-based approach is not, by saying that we don't want to send a false message that people should think about interpreting IFRS 15 creatively in advance of amendments being made, and that while we may be focused on how the three-way relationship, the three legs, should affect the recognition of revenue, that's something that we think has to be addressed with standard setting. And I think that that's maybe the point that you're trying to come to, which is we need standard setting to pursue development of this model rather than it being, an interpretation of different bits within different standards. So certainly I'm happy with both those two kind of principles for the way forward, and I'm not overly worried about the exact wording of the questions that you put. And I think the point about, again, a messaging point, consistency or not consistency with U.S. GAAP approach, I think it's helpful to point out that U.S. GAAP also takes an approach of saying, start by applying regular standards and then think separately about the regulatory overlay. But I wouldn't play up the U.S. GAAP similarity because I think it sends a message that is not consistent with the discussions we've had to date of we'll end up with a similar model to U.S. GAAP. There are a lot of things in the U.S. GAAP model that the preliminary discussions, both with our consultative group and at the board level, have suggested that we're not going to pursue. At least that's our, preliminary thinking. And I think people will hear what they want out of that, and so we should be very cautious with expressing that view.
Amaru, and then we're going to conclude.
It's very, very quickly, just to share with you an opposite view of the one presented by Weigu. And I think this is the beauty and challenge of being a world standard setter, not a regional standard setter. So in the opposite way, almost everyone that I talk about is in Brazil, they do support. They don't understand why they don't have this piece of asset and liability recognized. And because of the legal environment, they understand in their case, I'm not supporting or not supporting, but I'm just sharing, in their case, there are enough evidence that they do have assets and liabilities. And when I talk about enforcement, they say, well, but enforcement would be a second phase in the measurement. So I might be able to recognize, but at the end of the day, because it doesn't exist or isn't possible to enforce, measurement could be zero. So in the other side of the Atlantic, they are comfortable and supportive to this, including the securities regulation. So I think that's why I think we should pursue the project as proposed.
Thank you.
Okay, to sum up, I think we have agreement on proceeding with a discussion paper.
I also heard quite a bit of agreement with Ian's suggestion to make it part of a standard setting project, but that doesn't automatically mean that a standard will result. The standard setting could also be that IFRS 14 is simply abolished, right? So we are it's not in terms of messaging, it's not clear at this moment whether we will this will end up in the development of a rate regulation standard. But to underline the urgency of coming to a timely decision, we think it's probably best to put it under as to characterize it as a standard setting activity, this upcoming discussion paper. Did I summarize correctly what we discussed? Yes? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I suggest we take a break, 5 past 11.